Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, turning my fan down. Sorry, guys. It's a hot day. I have my fan on, which is fitting for the day's topic. Thanks for joining me for episode 106 of Hippie Witch, Magic for a New Age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I'm the hot, 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 and fiery creatrix behind Kick-Ass Switch, putting the K in magic. And Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit. And you can take a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com or back on the description page for this episode at Blog Talk Radio. And when I say that I am the hot, 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 and fiery creatrix, I mean, I am the hot, hot, hot and fiery creatrix today. I am all super duper fired up today. I don't even know why. Have you ever had one of those days when you just have a bug up your ass to start trouble? Or maybe you're just feeling extra feisty? I am having one of those days, and I can really get myself into trouble on days like today, mostly with my mouth. So I'm trying to watch what I say and behave myself and not get into too many arguments, although my friend Don and I have already gotten into a heated debate this morning, a friendly heated debate, which I may or may not have instigated. But I really don't even know why I just kind of woke up like this today. And just a funny aside, my son, when he gets really excited or worked up about something, he just like sits there and jibber jabbers on and on and on. And he talks in a very monotone, forward thrusting, like there are no periods and commas kind of way. And he was taking a bath the other night, and he was doing this just like, just jibber jabbering. It's the best way I can explain it. I was like, man, Tanner, you are super fired up. And he looked at me like, he was so offended. And he said, I am not. I was like, do you know what it means to say fired up? In case you don't know, my son has autism, and he's 21, but he's a lot like a small child in some ways, and his language is extremely delayed. So I had to explain to him what fired up meant. And I said, it just means that you're like really excited. You have a lot of energy. And he thought that was super cool. So now he's fired up about everything. We woke up one day recently after I told him this, and we were going to drive to Bakersfield, which he loves to do because it was his grandpa's 60th birthday. And he goes, man, I'm fired up about this birthday party. So sometimes I have to share with you cute stories about my kid because he's my kid and I think he's cute and I love the stories. And I think I'm still quite a few years away from menopause, knock on wood, and thank goodness. But this idea today of fire energy and me saying that I'm like feeling very fiery for no apparent reason. I just woke up like, maybe I'll put a fork in a light socket today. It makes me think of what Susan Weed says about how the hot flashes and feisty temperament of menopausal women are actually signs of kundalini rising. And I think that she even says that process starts its very first movements in your late 20s. So who knows? Maybe my kundalini is on the rise. Whoa! Be afraid. Be very afraid. I literally, and just to demonstrate how this might manifest, how it manifests for me. Let me put it that way. I just yelled. I went out on my front yard and yelled at the PE teacher across the street. I live across the street from a school, and they're so loud sometimes. And she was yelling into a bullhorn all morning at these kids. You should be uncomfortable. It's supposed to burn. Jennifer, Jennifer, I don't see you moving. And she's literally yelling into a bullhorn. So I'm just trying to sit here in my living room and get some work done. And this has been going on for hours. And I was about to do my radio show. And I was like, I don't want this lady interrupting my show yelling into a bullhorn. So I went out on my front yard and yelled at the junior high school across the street. You don't have to yell into a bullhorn for the whole neighborhood to hear. And she did stop. Sometimes that fire energy can get things done. Sometimes it pays to be feisty. And maybe I am turning into one of those. I'm going to be like a crotchety old lady who's like, damn kids, get off my lawn. Spraying the neighborhood dogs with a hose. I don't know. But that was me being feisty this morning. And really, fire is the topic of this show. Can be scary sometimes in funny little weird ways that I think are fairly harmless. I got the PE teacher to stop yelling into the bullhorn, which might have been a little bit scary for her for a moment. But it can be scary in a very real sense, too. Harry Houdini said, fire has always been and seemingly will always remain the most terrible of the elements. I feel you, Harry. I feel you. I do. It is terrible when it is terrible and terribly frightening, but it's also beautifully life-giving, as are all the elements. Thus, we have the mysterious paradox of nature. What makes it so exciting. All four of the elements I am covering in this four-part series that I'm doing here on the show, this is the third, air, water, fire, and earth. They all these elements, they can both nurture or destroy. And there's that Latin phrase that Angelina Jolie had tattooed on herself so famously. It might have been her first tattoo, but she had it tattooed like right over her bikini line, kind of on her torso, and it means what nurtures me also destroys me, and that's just a famous saying, and it's very, very true. As anyone who has experienced a hurricane, a tsunami, an avalanche, or wildfire can attest, earth, air, fire, water, they can destroy just as much as they can nurture. And they do both all the time. And perhaps that is part of their lure. That's part of the lure of magic, of working with the elements. They're dangerous, and yet they're so very necessary. For some reason, I think fire seems like the most dangerous. And as Harry Houdini said, the most terrible. But these are the elements which sustain us, and we use them symbolically in magic for this very reason. They are deeply rooted, profound metaphors. And that's why this four-part series that I'm doing here on the show, that's why I wanted to do this, to run alongside what I'm doing for this module of the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year program, because for the spring equinox module, which you can do anytime between, you know, spring equinox and May 1st, it's not about the equinox. That's just the title of the module. It's about, you know, working with the energies of spring. And I know that those energies hit where you live at different times, depending where you live. But for that module, there's a feature on rewilding. And that's really about working with the four elements in a physical, hands-on, practical kind of way. So I wanted to do these four shows to complement that and talk about using them in a metaphorical way, because I do think those metaphors go deep, and they go even deeper when you start working with the four elements consciously in your life, and the mundane and the spiritual, they touch, and you start seeing the relationship between these things. To me, they take on a deeper meaning when you do both. So that's why I'm presenting them both in these very different ways. We just did our first live Google Hangout for the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year. We did that this last weekend, and we all did the Crafty Witch Project, the Magic Garden Egg, together. We counted into Alpha State, and then we just kind of chatted and did our project together. And it was funny, like half the people are still in snow right now, and it's so strange. We're part of this global community, and we all gather in that, you know, private Facebook group from all different points of the world, which actually makes it difficult to schedule these hangouts. But we are going to all experience spring at different times. So the rewilding portion of that, you might be doing that in May, and I already started doing it in February, because we get spring really early here, and we our summer too. I wish we had more spring and fall and less summer. I'd take some more winter too, but that's just the way Los Angeles rolls, and there's not a whole lot you can do about it. But I was thinking about rewilding this morning and the sun. It was like a sunny, beautiful day. I'm out on my daily walk. Hummingbirds. Oh my gosh. I'm just going to rant all over the place today. See, I told you I was fired up. The hummingbirds are so amazing. They literally make a little cartoon sound that sounds like whee when they fly by you. And I got buzzed by a few hummingbirds on my walk today. And I went into like the jungle gym portion of the park because I wanted to hang on the, I don't know what you call those bars, monkey bars. I wanted to hang on the monkey bars like a monkey. As part of this whole rewilding experience, I will go put a whole resource list for different things you can do to rewild yourself. But movement is a big thing right now. Katie Bowman has a whole book about that that I can't remember the name of right now, but I will put an interview in there. She did an interview with Joe Rogan. For those of you that aren't in the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year, you can just look up Joe Rogan and Katie Bowman. Fascinating interview about movement as a component to rewilding yourself. Jonathan Mead has been making videos about this on YouTube. So I'm just going to create a really cool list, like a resource list there for other ways you can rewild yourself. And movement is one of those ways. And for me, you know, getting into magic, this is why for me, food, it's why I do the Sad Sexy program. It's why I'm interested in rewilding myself in like a physical way. It's why I'm interested in the ways, the old ways, the old religion, and getting back to tradition and getting back to our roots and getting back to our humanity and how we are a part of nature and how disconnected we've become from that. It's all related to me. I think it all goes together and works together. So I'm looking at this from a really holistic point of view. Oh, and we're going to be doing more. For those of you that are in the program, we're going to be doing more of those hangouts, and I think we're going to do another one this Sunday just to chit-chat about magic and probably psychic development and books and all that good stuff. So we'll get our own little coven of loving going on there online. And it's not that I don't want to include everybody. It's just I feel more free to talk about certain things, like we got into talking about my own personal psychic experiences and experiences with channeling and things like that in a way that I'm not as comfortable putting out to the general public. But people that have, you know, paid to be in this group or who have won a scholarship and gone out of their way to do so to be in the group, I'm cool with sharing a little bit more there. So that's why those are private. Maybe I'll do some public ones in the future. I'm not sure, but just thought I would say that as well for those of you who aren't in the group and feeling left out. And if you want to go listen to that podcast, with Joe Rogan and Katie Bowman. Do a Google search. I'm sure it'll come right up. So fire, let's get back to that. Metaphorically speaking, magically speaking, let's talk about fire. And in tarot, fire is represented by the suit of wands, which some people want to debate. Some people switch wands and swords around and argue that wands represent air and swords represent fire. I don't see it that way. I agree with the majority in that wands represent fire. It's just what makes sense to me. So I'm just going to talk from that perspective today, but you can work with the elements in whatever way feels right to you. When I think of a wand, I think of that classic image of a magician with a wand, or even Mickey Mouse in Fantasia with his wand, pointing it and directing energy. And your will, that to me is what the suit of wands is about. It's about the will, and that's what fire is about to me on the point of the witch's pyramid that represents to will. So that's how those things relate in my mind. The suit of wands is about fire energy, directing your will out into the world. And so, yeah, that's how I see it. Harnessing fire, interestingly enough, was humanity's first, perhaps. Well, maybe not our first. Let me rephrase that. Harnessing fire was one of the first steps to creating civilization and the ultimate expression of will, which to me takes that some symbolism even deeper. Fire gave us the alchemy of food, allowing us to transform poisonous or unpalatable substances into life-giving nutrition. Cooking can make certain nutrients more bioavailable, like lycopene, for example, found in tomatoes. By cooking tomatoes, it makes the lycopene more bioavailable. And you get more nutrients from it that way. It does kill the vitamin C, so maybe you want to eat some tomatoes raw and you want to eat some tomatoes cooked. Fire can also destroy, cooking can also destroy harmful anti-nutrients in legumes like beans and certain grains, as another example, which makes them easier to process and less destructive to your digestive system, which is a good thing if you don't want leaky gut syndrome. Fire gave us the first nightlight and safety from wild animals or each other invading tribes. It gave us warmth and the ability to stay up past, you know, sundown. So it gave us the joy of being able to sit around and talk and sing and hang out with each other. It gave us the ability to transmute raw materials into handy dandy tools and weapons and all manner of adornment and art. And then, of course, we all know what it's like to get burned, even just burned by the sun, the most life-giving light source in our human experience, the sun god, the god of sun. The will of the universe, perhaps, transmuting the raw materials of our planet into a crazy, magical kind of living genius. And no, I am not high. I just have these thoughts. I can't help myself. Maybe the sun and the fire of the sun really is the universe's will in action. Isn't that interesting to think about? And I didn't use the word genius haphazardly. I actually wrote down a quote that I wanted to share with you that I think really demonstrates what I was saying about how I perceive the witch's pyramid, which is, if you haven't been listening, it's just a concept. It's a template for doing magic, for working the law of attraction. Maybe you picture a star, let's say. It's hard to explain it over the radio without showing you a visual, but imagine a star. At the top point of the star is spirit, and that every arm of the star, the four points of the star that remain, are the four elements, earth, air, fire, and water. So this quote is by Henry Van Dyke, and it says, "Genius is Talent Set on Fire by Courage. So remember what I was saying last week about how in my personal version of the Witch's Pyramid, air represents to know and the point of inspiration, which leads you to water, and to dare, the point of magnetic emotion and courage, which then leads you into fire, and to will, the point of taking your intention to the streets, flexing your will with action, or even magically sending your will out into the universe to do your bidding, where it then leads into earth, to be silent, to allow, and the point of manifestation. So I just thought that quote was cool because it demonstrated what I was saying about how to dare, which is the magic of water, is the point of magnetic and emotion and courage. And it's that daring, it's that courage that gets you to the point of action. And then that's when the genius happens. That's when the manifestation happens. Genius is talent set on fire by courage. Woohoo! Love those little connections like that. And then this is another aspect of fire that can be either very, very dangerous or nurturing. Exercising your will can have absolutely disastrous effects on your life or the lives of those around you. It can burn everything to cinders, and that's why being a conscious co-creator of reality requires discernment and self-knowledge. Know thyself before thou wreck thyself. I actually did a lot of work with the solar plexus area of my body, if you're familiar with the chakra system. I worked with a therapist a bit when I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder because I had a lot of fluttery, burning, nervous energy in my solar plexus and a weak will. So I worked with a therapist and a book called Eastern Body, Western Mind, which I have mentioned many times and should totally do a book nerd post on. Maybe that'll be my next book nerd post. It's by Anodea Judith. I think that's how you say her name. But that's another, I don't know if you're on my Facebook page, but if you are, you might have seen the diagram I shared last week there about the Witch's Pyramid and how these elements work together, and the solar plexus is related in that paradigm structure to the will. We hold injuries there. You can have like a burning sensation there, which is really fitting for what we're talking about. And also, though, it can be very receptive and intuitive, which is usually associated more with the upper chakras of the heart and the third eye. But you can just think of it as another kind of intuition that presents itself as a gut feeling, and that can also come with that burning sensation, which is interesting. And in this book, Eastern Body, Western Mind, I always flip those around. Did I say that right? Eastern Body, Western Mind. Yes. Okay. Let's see. I tabbed a page here. She talks about how it's the point of transformation and your ability to act. And your ability to act as an individual and your will. It's the mani pura, lustrous gem point in the chakra system. And I'm going to read a little thing that she wrote here for you because I'm running out of time, and she's far more eloquent than I am as I ramble here to you every Tuesday. She says, as we exercise choice, we initiate the will. Through exercising our will, we develop our individuality, discover our strengths and weaknesses, and begin to build the power that will steer our lives. We leave the realm of safety and security, carrying our safety within the ground of our own body. So many people in recovery are understandably concerned about feeling safe, but power is not created from staying safe. Power comes from the will. The willingness to leave the world of safety and move forward into the unknown. Woohoo! Isn't that cool? So maybe if you're depressed or you have post-traumatic stress disorder or something like that, Maybe if you're feeling very heavy and lethargic or unmotivated, you might get that feeling I was talking about last week when water and earth come together. You get that like muddy, stuck in the mud feeling. So maybe you need a bit of fire in your life to get things moving again. Maybe you need to do some work with the solar plexus chakra, for example. How will you light that spark within? What will light a fire under your ass? Isn't it interesting how the elements, they like make their way into our everyday vernacular and the way that we speak? And there's something else I wanted to read you before I'm completely out of time, and that is about the suit of wands, because you probably know by now that I'm completely obsessed with the Tarot Illuminati, specifically the Complete Guide to Tarot Illuminati by Kim Huggins. Wow, holy cow, what a mind-expanding, amazing read this book is. Cannot recommend it more highly for those of you that are interested in alchemy and tarot and how all kinds of occult ideas like come together succinctly and articulately. Huh, such a good book. But the Ace of Wands, the ace of each suit, it actually represents the purest representation. It's the purest representation of that particular element. So the Ace of Wands would be the purest representation of the wand element, the fire element, to will. And she subtitles the Ace of Wands, The Thrust and Lust of Life. And speaking as the Ace of Wands, like as the Ace of Wands would speak for itself, it says that it is the urge to thrust yourself into the world, bold and bright and golden. The urge to set your mark upon history with great deeds and mighty reputation. The urge to roll up all your energy into a ball with another soul and shout the culmination of your pleasure to the stars. I am the lust and desire in life that drives you ever onward to greatness, challenges, pleasure, and pain. I am the force of will at its purest and most focused, the strength of your will and energy and desire all directed to one purpose. I am magic, and I am unstoppable. Woo-hoo! Isn't that cool? And if you want to know more about the will, I did an episode not too long ago, this year, called Do What Thou Will Should Be the Whole of the Law, Unless You're an Asshole. Still makes me laugh to say the title of that show. But I mentioned at our Google Hangout this past Sunday, I was talking about a new podcast, a new to me podcast. It's not new. It's called Down at the Crossroads. Hosted by Chris Orapello, and he had a guest on that show. She was new to me. Her name is Byron Ballard, and she actually was on the show twice, and she teaches a course called The Joy of Hex, which I know is an extremely controversial topic, but she calls it willful bane. And this woman is the epitome of feisty. Oh my goodness. She's really interesting, but she was talking about how she thinks the whole do what they will and harm ye none, or the idea, the threefold law in Wicca, that was like shoehorned into that religion to make people think that witches aren't dangerous and to make us more appealing, you know, to maybe Christians or other religions and make people feel safe around us, not as afraid or attacking. But she's like, we are dangerous. Witches are dangerous. We are powerful when we exercise our will. And that's me talking now, just riffing on what she's saying. We are powerful when we exercise our will. And like any human on the planet, you should get to know us before you trust us. Some of us are operating from a place of discernment and heart center, so to speak, and some of us are working from a place of unchecked ego and greed. So it's you know, witches are human too. And the will is very powerful. What can nurture you can also destroy you. And I am completely out of time, but I also just want to say that it's interesting in the Christian religions that hell is represented by burning fire. So maybe that's the destruction of will run amok. I'm out of time. If you want to join the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year, it's easy to find on my website, or you can visit www.psychospiritualwheeloftheyear.com. I'll be back here next Tuesday talking about the magic of Earth. Until then, much love. Peace.